إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to summarize the four reminders on driving change and learning from mistakes, and to do that using an example. The four stages is own it, analyze it, fix it, and track it or test it. Now, if we take an example, a marriage that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, which went bad, or take a business partnership that you entered in with a lot of hope, but that also didn't work out the way you expected it to work out. Now, in both these cases, the reason I'm taking these two cases is because these are probably two of the most common things that happen. Now, if you take both these cases, if you look at it, the basic premise, why do you agree to marry somebody? Not because you don't like them, not because you don't trust them, not because you think badly about them. All of these are the opposite. You agree to marry somebody because according to you, everything is positive. You like them, you like their family, you trust them, you would like to be associated with them in the highest degree, which is to actually marry them, and so on. So also a business partnership. Why do you enter into a business partnership with somebody? Because you trust them. I mean, nobody enters into a business partnership with someone they don't trust. Many times people say, never have a partnership with friends. So I tell them, then should you have a partnership with enemies? I mean, what is the meaning of that? Don't have a partnership with friends. So either say don't have a partnership at all. That's understandable. But if you say don't have a partnership with friends, so what should you do? Partner with enemies? But I know why they say that. Because their point is that you have a partnership with friends, and then if something goes wrong, you lose the friendship also. So it's better to partner with strangers. But the point is that even if it's a stranger, at the end of the day, when you actually sign the partnership document, the person may not be a friend as in, Langotiyar kind of friend, but at the same time, you would have done your due diligence on them, they have done the due diligence on you, and there is a level of trust between the two parties. Otherwise, the partnership agreement will never be entered into. I'm saying this is plain logic. But still they go bad. Why? Let's apply the model on this. So the first and foremost, if you take a marriage that has gone bad or a partnership that has gone bad, the first and foremost thing to do, what normally happens, if you listen to the conversation about it, if you go to one party and say, what happened? I have yet to come across, I can remember only one particular case, and it was my grandmother. My grandmother was the one who said it. But except that one case, every single case that I have ever heard in my life, and a lot of people come to me for these things, it is always 100% the fault of the other party. I have yet to say. My grandmother was the one, she said, "Hamara maal khota hai, maa dusra ko kya bolna bolo." She said, "His problem was ours." He says, "Nothing to do with anybody else." But, may Allah forgive her and give her Jannah, inshallah. But the point is that other than that, I've never ever heard somebody actually say this, to say that the fault lies with us. Always it is the fault of the other party, whether it is the girl or the boy, either way, right? Always it is the fault of the other party. The other party, they are so evil and they are this and they are that and so on, and she did this and he did that, what? Same thing with business partnerships. You talk to the person on one of the partners, you say what happened, and it's always the other. This is what he did and so on and so on. Now, first and foremost, therefore, when we apply the model, what did we say? Own it. Own the responsibility. It went bad because of what you also did. I'm not saying the other party is completely free from blame. No, of course not. There is always, like they say, "Hamare Urdu bolte, thari do haath se bachti." You need two hands to clap. Fair enough. But you need two hands to clap. Just like one hand cannot clap, even the other side one hand cannot clap. So there is mutual responsibility, and at least you are 50% responsible. Yeah, it's not to say that you are one person. No. So the first and foremost thing is to own the fact that, yes, this is my mistake. I am the one at fault. I made the mistake. Absolutely critically important, because like I said, unless you own it, if you don't own the problem, you don't own the solution. It's as simple as that. You cannot solve something that you don't own. I can't make an alteration in your house, you can't make an alteration in my house, because I don't own your house and you don't own my house. Only the person who lives there, who owns it, can do the alteration. Therefore, we have to own the problem. This is my problem. This is incidentally the problem with the Muslims Ummah worldwide. We don't want to own our own faults in the matter. I know it's not easy, it's very painful, but unless you own it, there is no solution. You can talk till the cows come home. Nothing is going to happen. Number one. Second thing is then analyze and say, okay, so I own it. Now what? As I said, the point of owning does not mean that we now have to beat ourselves up and, you know, just lie there in depression and, no. We own it to accept the fact that this is the reality. Now, we want to get out of this. We have to move on. We can't sit there. So now, if you want to move on, what must you do? You have to analyze and you have to say, what is it that went wrong? Now, one of the most common reasons why things go wrong like this is because we don't ask the questions that we should ask. And the reason we don't ask those questions is out of what in Urdu we call muravat. Out of these assumptions about the other person, about this, out of this mistaken impression that if I ask a question, they might get offended. So how can we ask this? Now this is the root cause. Absolutely, if you remember, I said ask why 5 times, right? Root cause analysis. If you ask that, it comes down to this question. Why didn't you ask this question? Oh, but you know, how can I ask this question to that person? Why not? No, what if they are offended? Let them be offended. If they are offended, that also is a signal to you about the kind of person it is. You are entering into a marriage, you are entering into a business contract, into a business partnership, and if I cannot ask you openly and frankly some questions, if I cannot clarify my doubts with you, if I must be worried about you being offended, then you are obviously not the right person for me to have a partnership with. Because in that partnership, such chances and opportunities of the need to ask questions, this opportunity is going to come not once, it is going to come a million times. How can we still ask questions and how can we still remain friends? One of the many differences between the way we work, we meaning, I'm talking about Muslims and I'm talking about mostly South Asian Muslims and also probably Middle Eastern Muslims, compared to my work with the West, with the Goras, I have been in meetings where people ask some questions which, you know, you probably have a heart attack if somebody asks you that question. Absolutely straight to the face, direct questions. In our culture, this would be considered to be hugely rude. There's not rude. Directly to the face, they will ask a question. And they all part as friends and everything goes on. Because matters are clear. There's no doubt. There's no fog there. There are no assumptions. Right? Now, many times people say, for example, in marriages. I remember a case in South Africa where there was this girl who was married to this mufti. And literally on the night of the wedding, that girl had to be hospitalized because of the way he beat her up. Some argument happened and he literally, you know, beat her up to the extent that she was injured and had to be hospitalized. So some people came to me, I was in South Africa at that time, they came to me and they asked me, what shall we do? I said, go to the police, report the matter to the police, put him in prison. Oh, how can we do that? Why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? Who told you you can't do that? No, but he's a mufti. I said, then even more reason why he should be in prison. As a mufti, he does not know how to treat his wife. He should be in prison. Let it be out in the world to say the Muslims stand for justice. They don't hide things. That's what you should do. What do you think happened? That is the reason why we are in the mess that we are in. But the point I'm making is that Now, point here is, oh, but you see, we are marrying our daughter to a mufti. Therefore, your assumption is that because this man has qualified from a Darul Uloom and he has got this title mufti, or he is a Hafiz Quran or something, you assume that therefore he has the akhlaq of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the walking Quran. That he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to mankind. This is all in your mind. This is all in your mind. This is not reality. Right? So you should have asked questions. You should have made inquiries. You should have checked a million things. Because at the end of the day, reading a book, getting a degree from a Darul Uloom is one thing. Tarbiyat and akhlaq is something else. Same thing with businesses. Right? For example, you might say, well, you're having a conversation and we say, what will you do? What's your role in the business? My role is this. What do you promise? This is what I promise. What will you invest? What responsibility will you take? All this conversation is happening. After that, the question is, now why don't we write down a memorandum of understanding and both parties sign? At that point, you hesitate. And you say, no, but you know, we've got this nice party going, everybody's feeling nice and good and so on and so forth. And, you know, after all, I just spoke to him and is he going to go back on his word? He's not a liar, I know him. We just prayed Salatul Fajr behind him, we've just prayed, you know, 20 rakat behind him or whatever. And Alhamdulillah, he's a good Muslim, he's got a beard, he's wearing a turban, whatnot. So now asking him to write something down and sign and all this sounds very bad. So you don't do that. Now what happens? Now I'm not saying the other guy is evil and he was a shaitan, no. The point is that you said something, he understood something else. Usually that's the reason. It's not because the other person, sometimes people have, they are double-minded and they have, I'm not saying it doesn't, it happens, but most of the time it is the issue of what you said and you thought he understood and he understood something else. So now when the time comes to take responsibility, this person is not there. You say, what happened? You know, I never said it. I never told you I'm going to be here. Are? Now what do you do? The record is there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that's not accessible to you now in this life. So what? Now what do you do? Then you say, are, you know what, we should have written all this down, but now it's too late because it's gone. I mean, all of that. So the friendship also goes and the partnership also goes and everything goes. So now when you own it and you analyze it, this analysis is very important. Say very clearly, what questions should I have asked? What kind of inquiry should I have done? Who should I have checked with this to corroborate the evidence that I have? So own it, analyze it. Now third part is fix it. What is the fix? The fix is next time we enter into any such agreement, next time we enter into any such relationship, this is the checklist that we are going to follow to the last dot. If that checklist doesn't get ticked, sorry, we don't do that work. I knew a case here where the bridegroom's parents invite the bride's parents home and then they take them up to a room in the house and they open the door and they say, this is the bride's room. And that room has four walls, it has a ceiling and it has a floor. And that's pretty good. I mean, you know, it has all these things. Fantastic, right? You know, at least they... Now, tell me, it should not a big red light and a police siren and everything else and fire engine, should not that have gone off in the minds of... What do? They go and furnish the room. What is the natural result of this? What do you think happened? I mean, this... our entire Bollywood is based on this. So the natural result happened. Now everybody, oh my God, how could I say, you're bloody crazy. I mean, you are insane. I mean, all I can say is you have no brain. Because here were these people, they literally told you in so many words, this is how we are going to treat your daughter. And you did not listen to that. And then you want to blame, hamari khismat hai sahab. Hamari khismat nahi hai, tumhara gadha pana hai. What khismat? Where is the khismat in this? You write your own khismat in that and then you want to blame Allah for this. Na'udhu billah. So analyze and then fix it, create a checklist and say, next time I go into any such thing, these are the items that we are going to check. And if somebody says, sorry, you are offended, you say, salaam alaikum, very good, good thing we understood, go goodbye, end of story. Make this checklist. And then, of course, track it is fairly simple. If you have this checklist, then you go and say, are we following this checklist or not? Right? So I think this is inshallah, we hope that this will result in understanding and us in having positive and productive relationships and partnerships, and at least save us from some of the problems that we end up in because we don't follow process, we don't follow a procedure. And also in terms of learning from mistakes, because I always tell people it's a very good thing to learn from mistakes, but it's an even better thing to learn without making mistakes. There's no need to glorify mistakes, right? Okay, you made a mistake, you learned, that's good. But if you can learn without that, and if you can learn from somebody else's mistake, that is even better. And that's the way to learn from it, so that we don't even fall into the trap in the first place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to help us to live lives which are productive and useful and which are pleasing to Him. Sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.